I'm Derek Thompson, the host of the podcast Plain English. We tackle technology, politics, culture, history, everything that's happening in the world and why it matters. New episodes of Plain English drop every Tuesday and Friday on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
They opened the door and who entered? The King of Rome, the King of Rome.
The King of Rome, the King of Rome.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House on Ringer FC. Hope you're all safe and well. Today we're going to talk about the men's and the women's FA Cup quarterfinals, the England squad. I'm going to give some more flowers to Tammy Abraham. And my guests are Mayowa Quadri and Mr. Musa Akwanga. How are you doing, fellas?
Very well, very well.
Hello, 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 hello.
Are you on good form?
Always in good form.
I'm in exceptional form.
I'm in exceptional form. It's true. Why would, you know, the thing is that I feel like I spent a lot of my time saying I'm just okay when deep down I want to say I'm in exceptional form at the moment.
I'm in exceptional form. Listen, I just got made a godfather for the second time.
So we're calling I saw. Is it, was it Lily?
Listen, the Godfather Part 2, we're calling it. That's what they're calling it. Streets.
I saw it sitting on your lap. It's sweet, huh?
Beautiful, beautiful child. Beautiful child. So yeah, very exciting.
How does it make you feel, Moose? Does it make, oh my gosh.
Brought me to tears. It's such an honor.
It is. It's amazing. People don't realize, Moose, that being a godfather, you know, obviously growing up in the film and everything, It is the one of the most highest accolades you can give to somebody in respect. You're giving somebody your child if something happens to you.
It's one of the greatest honors of my life. Yeah. Because
it's
what it means
great
is
honor.
Yeah. Also someone like me, like I've had like variety of different careers and you do lots of different things. You know, I'm not someone people might necessarily look at conventionally speaking as, oh yeah, that dude is like kids and Morgan. Mm. That's not my life. So to be recognized by someone like that, someone to look at this person and go, this person is absolutely solid.
He's the one.
Is a huge.
He's the one I
huge,
want to look after my child.
It's one of the greatest, compliments of my life.
It's one of the greatest, man. May, are you a godfather yet?
I'm not, but I am a pops, so.
Yes, see.
There we see. There, so, kind of it is, there it is.
The pops.
He anointed himself.
Many are called, few are chosen.
Exactly. The thing about the pops is, of course, the pops, it goes without saying. But like I say, it's when somebody has entrusted their child with you.
Yeah, it's different. I've got that weird sort of situation where, you know, when it's sort of like those sort of like moments, like the Fabregas World Cup, it's not handshaken, but it's sort of like, this is going to happen. And, you know, I've got those sort of agreements in place where it's like, this is going to be for you. It's not a contract yet, but it's for you. Those are the sort of vibes I've got going on with the Godfather situation. Right. But it's true. Right. It is a beautiful thing, right? That someone can sort of say to you that.
Wow. You're moving like FIFA. You're like inviting tenders.
He's putting out tenders.
Speaking of like Godfather stuff, like with you, right? What I find so interesting is obviously you've done everything you've done in the game, right? But still, like, you're like a footballing Godfather. Obviously, everyone knows you as Uncle Righty, but you're like a footballing Godfather where people are like, listen, I'm trusting you with the development of this young lad. Just keep an eye out for me. You know, listen, no one else knows him like you know him. Please.
Oh my gosh. Like, so then I'm going to end up in an orange grove. I'm going to end up dying in an orange grove.
Falling off your chair.
Oh no. Falling off my chair.
Oh no.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Guys, we've got to talk about the FA Cup.
Yep.
We've got the semifinals now. So it's Palace, Chelsea, Liverpool, City. And it's funny because when I was younger, you always wanted there to be an underdog in there. I'm quite pleased for Palace to be in there. And I think that it might be a good time for them, and the way Patrick have got them, and what I watched them the other day against Everton, which is very hard to kind of gauge with Everton, because for about 15 minutes, I don't know if you guys saw the game, about 15, 20 minutes, they literally had Palace in a stranglehold, bro. Frank got them started. They came out the blocks, and Palace, it was like a boxer just came out and he just threw everything. It was the round one, Marvin Hagler, Thomas Ernst, and Palace couldn't get them off him.
And yeah, but then, this also happens prior to thrashing. This always happens.
Do you think, Moose? But you know what, Moose?
Yes, yes.
It was really, it was really strange and interesting to watch, because I was in there and I was with Joe Cole, Laura was in Joe Cole, and I said, while the game was going on, I said, Everton need to score in this period, or Palace need to slow this game down. And then Andros Townsend got injured for 4 minutes. Game changed.
Yes, yes.
It was the break that Palace needed, because, you know, I'm sure Frank would have been absolutely delighted. And the chance what Michael Keane had, where he slashed at it.
Right.
And you think to yourself, you know something, the margins in this game for something to either work out, because that's how Frank would have seen it. Because if I'm Palace, guys, I'm thinking, right, let's
weather the storm.
Not even that, Mayoa. If I'm Palace, I'm going to say, right, let's just go at Everton. They're low in confidence. Yeah, yeah. Yes, we know they won the other day, but they're low in confidence. Let's go at them. Let's put them players under pressure. Jonjo Kenny, Michael Keane. Let's put these games on Holgate, the goalkeeper. And then for it to come out where you go out as the favourite and then bam, they punch you and you're rocked. You've got wobbly legs. And Palace, through Andros Townsend getting injured, guys, they got the time they needed. And then once those guys got involved, Eze, Elise, Zaha.
Different game.
Conor Gallagher. It was the game. It was just a matter of...
They're calling Crystal many. Palace Protective Hair FC. Which is hilarious.
What they're calling them?
Protective Hair FC. They've all got locks and dreads.
It's true, bro.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of locks and dreads going on, man.
But I think that moment was, it's, you know, it just sums up where Everton are at the moment. Where
I don't know where they are, bro.
But that's it. Remember, we were speaking about it recently. We were saying that if nothing happens, the anxiety builds. Because they had that spell, and even though they were cooking, it's like the second they need to pick this pot up off from the cooker, they're going to drop it. Yeah. It's just always been the case. Well, when they're playing at home, it's the case. Yeah. It's just always this situation though at the moment that he's like, it's not going to be a happy ending. And lo and behold, like you said, the injury comes, and then next thing you know, one, two, three, four, and you're just thinking that, oh my word. And because the thing is, the game before, they had that little bit of luck, didn't they? Last minute. What, 99th minute, to be fair.
Beautiful goal. Ooh, a beautiful goal constructed, yeah.
Amazing goal. Really goal. Tell you what I found funny about that. Slight side topic, but it's like, it's funny how that was a perfect situation for the knee slide, lift the hands up. Yes, we're here. Just did this little Instagram post. It's like, come on, man. You're in a relegation scrap pit. It won't be in that game. That was a perfect moment for a knee slide. He just did a little Instagram post. It's like, listen, you're in a relegation scrap. You need to rally the fans. Like,
you know,
a knee slide would have done it. But I think it's testament of where Everton are. They just can't catch a break with anything.
I actually think Everton handled that quite well. Like the euphoria of the the late victory over Newcastle, which is a great win for them. And it said a lot that Everton could construct a winning goal like that under that kind of pressure, because it was a glorious goal, right? Now, Everton were coming in with that momentum. And Palace, actually, interesting enough, Palace have played, not the last couple of games, but so maybe to the last three games, they've basically had to sort of absorb a lot of shock, right?
Yeah.
They've been shock-absorbing mode. So they've actually been used to teams. For example, like you look at like the City game, they've been used to teams absolutely coming at them, hammering them. And that takes an impact in terms of like how you set up at the start of a game. So what it's saying really is maybe Everton thinking, if we go hard after them early, we can unsettle them. The problem is actually, and Ian, you made this point perfectly, like over the course of the game, you know, you've got a midfield three against the 4-4-2. They're going to start finding the gaps.
Yeah.
Palace are going to start ball playing. And once they get Eze and Olise on the ball, who in my opinion actually are the two primary playmakers in that squad. And funnily enough, at this point now, like Zaha is brilliant. He's been for a long time. Those two players, I think, are ultimately more dangerous because what they do is control tempo. And when once Eze starts to control tempo, Eze did the dangerous thing. You do not want a player like that dropping 40 yards from goal because he will kill you. This man
moves
like a ghost, but then also the way the man releases, he knows when to release, Ian, and this is very dangerous. We saw Mkhitaryan did it the weekend for Roma, and he did it as well. You know those passes that don't actually, not the assist, but the pass before the pass, when you hit it and it splits the defense, the winger gets it, and then like it's the square across and it's in. And the problem with Everton is they don't have that match control. They, like you said, they don't have the tempo control. You know, like Modric does. You see, what this is what Elise is going to... Elise was playing in the front three, but that man is going to end up... And I hate to say this because Palace fans will like be like, oh, you're just like talking a player's getting sold. No, it's not that. It's more like Eberechi Eze and Michael Elise have the ability to play for the very biggest clubs in Europe. And I had another thought as well. Here's a hot take to throw in. I'm not sure how much better someone like a Jurgen Klopp or a Pep Guardiola coaches this group of players. Like if you gave Klopp or Guardiola Palace. These players, if you gave him the Palace players, this is how well Vieira is coaching them. It's difficult to imagine the extra margins that Pep or Klopp would make. You know that they're great coaches, don't get me wrong. And I'm just saying that
and they're
it's
having fun
hard to imagine.
They're having fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Ian. It's hard to imagine. But you know the extra 20% that Klopp and Pep get out of any group of players? I don't see the extra 20% here. That's how good Vieira has been in charge.
He's got them. You think he's got them at full pump, full tilt?
Almost. I don't think they're there yet.
You don't think they're there?
I think there's still another level that these boys can cook at, because even if you look at how the team's been put together, like Olise's been eased in. Eze's come back from injury. We don't know what the Zaha solution about whether he's going to be a centre forward next season or not is. I think there's still another level that they go to as they grow with each other. And of course, some of these players we're talking about are still really young players. Like Eze and Elise are only going to get better with playing more Premier League games. So I still think that he's extracted so much out of them, but there is another level that they, and he could go to. Because remember, this is his first sort of season in the Premier League. He's still probably sussing it out as he's going along. Next year, he would have learned so much from what he's been through this year. Like imagine him playing that Arsenal game next season, if he had to do that again, when it all just went wrong. He's going to know that, listen, I've got that learned experience now. I'm going to cook you in this way and that way. Like what they're doing there is, you've got to pay Palace credit as well. Like for them to be in a semi-final, most teams don't really go for it in the league. They're going for it. They're actually going for it. For them to be in a situation where they had Roy Hodgson's for 4 years and I think Sean was saying it right, where he was saying that he thinks that they were prepared to go down with Vieira in order to build back again.
Just to come back.
And they're doing all this. You've got to give them credit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think that one of the key things, and it's very obvious, is they've got to do something about either signing Conor Gallagher or they're going to have to find somebody who does what he does, because I've never seen anyone work that hard closing down, running back, linking up with whether it's the defense, getting the ball, the midfield, going forward with the forwards. He gives them so much that if you take him out, I think they lose a lot.
It's a Mason Mount type vibe, actually.
It's very much so. And it's really interesting because obviously Palace have got Chelsea. Are Chelsea going to let him play Mayowa? Because that's something that I've always had a problem with. If you've let a player go from the start of the season, and yes, he's your player, your parent club, he goes to another club, and for Conor Gallagher to go to Palace and take them to the levels, let's face it, he's one of the main reasons they're doing what they're doing. And then he's now got to the semi-final at Wembley, which we all dream about as professionals. And he can't play because his parent club's there with the club he's on loan to. I just feel that there's something not fair about that.
Yeah, it's not. I get every team will look for the little advantage, but I'm a firm believer.
Do you think Chelsea would let him play?
I would hope they let him play. I think, if anything, he's earned the respect and the opportunity to play at Wembley. He has done so much for that team. For me, it's like, you've told this boy to go on loan and prove himself. Mm. Now he has the opportunity to prove it on the biggest... It's going to be one of the, if not the biggest game of his career. I don't think it's... If you're really serious
against
about him coming into...
Against your parent club.
Yeah, it's mad. But I would be like, listen, show us what you're made of.
If I was Chelsea, I wouldn't allow that. I'd never allow that.
You wouldn't allow that.
Because you want all the advantages, don't you?
One of the most impressive performances I've seen in recent weeks is what Crystal Palace did against Chelsea with the late winner by Chelsea. Crystal Palace were brilliant. They were brilliant. I think that was without Eze as well. Like, that was, Elisa just ran the show. Absolutely ran the show, to the point where if Zaha had scored, I think we had two great chances on the other half. Palace take the lead in that game. It's a tight game and they end up winning it, I think. And they got a late winner, Chelsea. And so... I would not allow if I had any choice
at
all.
You wouldn't let him do it?
No, why are you? That team can hurt you. Look, I love it. I love it when clubs play against players on loan. I love it. I love to see it, but I wouldn't allow it.
I'd be devastated if it was me in his position. We've got to cover the other games as well, guys, because I've watched the Borough-Chelsea game, and what you see when you watch Borough against Chelsea, as much as how good they've been on this FA Cup run. It's a proper FA Cup run Middlesbrough has been on. But when you come up against a Chelsea, and it's almost like, you know, I mean, you've done well, but this is kind of where it's going to end. Because
end of the road. Yeah,
it really is levels. And you could see it in the way they played and the chances. Like Ziyech's goal is so underrated from where he hit the shot.
It's incredible.
Honestly,
has no right to shoot like that.
You know, from across, the goalie can see everything, right? He's cut inside, the goalie can see everything, and that's the only place he could put it. To be honest, it's like Jota's goal against Arsenal. With, you know, people were blaming Ramsdale, but it's the levels and the margins that these guys are hitting. Ziyech's goal was unbelievable. Middlesbrough done brilliantly, but, you know, they just come up against a top team.
It's the goal of the round, ZX goal. Like,
easily.
Because you look at it and it's like a harpoon. And it's gone, it's there.
Amazing. Yeah.
The moment he locked on that corner, it was in. The moment he locked on that corner, because the angle, he beats the keeper in flight, depth, swerve. Like, the keeper's diving and it's always going away from him.
It's the accuracy and the power from the angle. This is what I'm saying. Yes. People can't understand. That's what it is, Moose. You know what I mean? And... because the goalkeeper, people say, no, that shot. And sometimes you just have to say, you know, yeah, it's an unbelievable strike, because otherwise the goalie saves it. You know, this is what I'm saying with Chelsea. I don't care what's happening with Chelsea and that team. It's so fucking dangerous, bro.
And the cup competition as well, they're just so relentless.
The thing is, Mo, as well, I want to say about this, the way that they scored like two within like half an hour, and it was the way they scored them. The first goal was so businesslike; it was like a training ground goal. The way Lukaku calls for it, and the second goal, there are certain goals that are demoralizing,
clinical.
Even the first goal, it's like Thiago Silva, 37. The way he's playing out the back, just passing it around, it's like, hold on, this kid is like some academy kid with like rolled out his feet. And then next, Ziyech plays that amazing, like we said about Eze, the pass before the keep, the assist, amazing pass, breaks the line, and then Mason Mount. That's the sort of ball into the area that a striker loves. You just keeper doesn't just know where to be. No. All I have to do is arrive. Mm. It touches me. It's in the goal.
And then you got the Liverpool game. That was a fantastic game to watch. It's a really, really good game to watch. And again, what they learn, and they learn, it's a great lesson for a team like Forest and those players. They've got a few players in their team, you know, Jed Spence, you know what I mean? Johnson. They've got a couple of players in their team, you know, who you look at and you think to yourself, they will have learned so much from playing against that Liverpool side, because the chance what the guy had, what came across, Moose.
Oh my goodness, Zinchenko's. Well,
I can never understand as somebody who's in a position to score like that, Moose, is why they choose the most difficult thing. It's the natural thing. What came in their mind was the most difficult at that stage, and that only comes. The only thing I can put it down to is because they're not naturally in that position often enough to know that you don't want that ball to come across your right foot onto your left foot, because what could happen is it could come off your heel. Whereas when it's coming to you and it comes across your first foot and you just sweep it in, you at least get it on target. And then what happens is he misses, they go down the other end, they score. It's just like you think to yourself, wow, the game is so cruel.
It is, but then again, I said this before,
the levels and the margins.
Isn't, because look, I said this before, you never ask destiny for permission. The ball came across goal. The ball came across goal, and we knew this
was
destiny.
It was his time, it's his moment.
He knew, and this is the culmination, this is the arc of people's careers. You score that goal, and everything changes. This was a true sliding doors moment for Nottingham Forest. And it was funny because you even saw certain moments where Liverpool players were slicing the ball high and wide. Things weren't coming.
Yep,
crowd was loving it. And it was an old school cup time. This was a very, you know, in terms of Nottingham Forest, Liverpool, the historical significance of this, this is like late 70s, early 80s, like two teams just dogging it out for best in Europe. And this is a historical tie. He scores that. And it changes the kind of trajectory.
Everything changes. Changes everything, because all of a sudden, Nottingham Forest, who have been beating teams, they get on that, they get into that mindset.
They're going
again
to Wembley.
Honestly, they're going to Wembley, man. It's such a shame.
And this is the problem. He finished as if he was aware of that moment.
He got taken off straight away.
Yeah, he finished as if he was aware of destiny, because it's devastating that he did that. Yeah, yeah.
God, Jesus, so sad. And then the way City dispatched Southampton. And you know what's quite demoralizing about that is because you're so close to the glory. And I'm not saying that you're going to be satisfied with playing in the semi-final, but you're a game away from the actual final. And if you beat City in a cup competition like the FA Cup, and it would be brilliant, the underdogs, and then you get to Wembley, and then all of a sudden we could see one of those unbelievable underdog finals against one of the top teams. And that. But City, literally, again,
business-like.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was cruel.
I think Pep enjoys like the Hasenhüttl rivalry. I think he enjoys playing against those thinkers more than he enjoys playing against, not that all managers aren't thinkers, I'm not saying that, but he enjoys that proto-brutal outlook. There's early round of the FA Cup, I think it was last year, when it was a really tough, I mean, they had three late goals, I think, City, but it was 0-0 till very, very late. The team just really went at them in quite a sort of, not a reductive way, but quite a sort of like aggressive, and just unsettling way, just disrupting their rhythm and everything. And
yes,
this and the thing is also, let's give credit to City, because they're in a really good flow. Actually, they may not be always like scoring the goals they want to in terms of expected goals, but like they're in a good flow in terms of the way the players are interchanging, passing, moving. It's just, they're on a different level.
Foden's goal as well is, Foden's goal was a goal that was just like, there you go. That's what I've got that.
It's a demonstration.
It was so good. Yeah, it was. It was a demonstration of, oh, you're giving me this much time here. Okay, bam.
Sorted, no worries.
Can I be honest? That's scary as well with Foden. Foden and Saka are scaring me because they're adding distance scoring to their repertoire. No. You notice it. When Foden and Saka first came in, close range, oh, they're nice. They're like, come to a house party. Oh, they're not talking too much. Yeah. And then like half an hour into the house party, they're like, hey, like they're telling all the best stories. That's how they are now. Foden and Saka, they've got their feet under the table now in the Premier League, and they're now showing us the full range, because that strike from distance, that's what Saka's doing as well, isn't it? Like from
exactly what he's doing. Saka's going to that place. We've got to talk about the Women's FA Cup, guys.
Big draw.
You know, West Ham, Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, bro.
Big draw.
Wow.
Big draw. Yeah.
That's massive.
Chelsea need this cup.
Not only do they need it, it's just there's something about Emma, about lived experiences and sort of, I remember the beginning of the season. I remember everything.
She's not forgetting that, bro. The beginning of the season, our man was going on.
She doesn't forget. And she uses it as, if there's anyone that uses moments as motivation in football, Emma's up there in terms of, listen, you remember that. She's probably writing it down on post-it notes and putting it all over the changing room. Be like, remember.
We can beat them, bro. We can beat them, you know?
It's a very good game. It's a very good game.
We can beat them. And I think that...
And when is that game? The 17th. So in terms of the league as well, I mean...
Yeah, 17th. From Arsenal's point of view, they've got to have something else in the makeup going into that game. There's got to be more big up your chest vibe. Right. Mm. Come on, Chelsea. We're going for it with you lot, man. Because my initial reaction is... You naturally go, because it's the semi-finals, who you get is going to be tough. you naturally go, oh, Chelsea, man. Because of Emma Hayes, bro.
I don't think Arsenal should be scared at all. You if don't you look think, at the second was... half of that, no, that League Cup final, the second half of that, I'd actually be slightly worried if I were Chelsea because there's pressure here for them, right? They've obviously the league, Arsenal are close with them, but Chelsea, like that exit from the Champions League, right? This is an underwhelming season for them, no matter what they win. Two trophies, they can at least say, okay, well, we've got the league, we've got the cup. But this is, they have to make a statement with Arsenal here, I think, Chelsea. The pressure, I think, is more on them, funnily enough.
Do they have to make a statement, though?
Yeah, they do. They do, man. They do.
But isn't that the risk? It's like a boxing match, right? Where the boxer feels like, I have to go out and, you know, wow the crowd and everything. And in trying to do that...
That's what Everton done.
You get caught with the uppercut and then you're stalled.
You get got.
And then you start panicking like, oh my gosh, like I'm running out of rounds to get this done.
Exactly, Mayo. That is exactly, it's a really good point. Simply because, again, you know, you go out there and you think, yeah, man, we're going to go for them. And then bam, you know that they've got the knockout punch and then you feel it for the first time.
Mm. Yes.
They're going to have to go out. They're going to have to be in their face. They're going to have to score in the right moments and keep the pressure on. Because what I saw with Chelsea, and I've seen Chelsea, when Brighton beat them, they kept at it. I don't know what they've done with Brighton when they kept at it. Dan Carter scored a beautiful goal. Let's not get that wrong. But at the same time, you keep these teams under pressure. You have to keep them under pressure and believe in what you're doing and take the opportunities when they come, because that's what happens against them. They'll give you something. If you don't take it, then that's down to you.
I think there's something to be said as well. The return of Magda Eriksson is huge as well. Like that is enormous for Chelsea, the back line and the playmaking function. Eriksen's return, I think, is going to be crucial in this one to watch.
I think they think about just sort of where Chelsea have been in terms of being the chaser this season, in a way, even though they've got that one game in hand that would put them above. They've been chasing Arsenal and it's almost like, okay, in this sort of competition, we can just trap you and put an end to this. Mm. I get what you're saying about it has to be a statement because the season might be underwhelming otherwise, but I think Emma knows that, listen, I just have to get them boast out of my players in this one moment. And she'll approach it in a way that they will try their best to maximise that and they'll just keep going for the full 90 and hopefully get it done. But it is a blockbuster game. I think it's testament to how far Arsenal have come this season to be a powerhouse and to be a team that is setting standard, because we thought it was possible. We put our hats out saying that it could be possible, but to see it and it happen is a different thing entirely. They have done really, really well this season. And in times, it's like, they're not even cooking yet. There's so many players that are not fulfilling their full potential. So it'll be interesting to see how it all comes
together.
We'll
see how it pans out. But like, you know, the good thing about it is, like I said, you get to this stage of the competition, it's very exciting, but it's the nerves. It's like, I think I was more frightened getting ready to play in semi-finals than the finals. Easy. You don't want to go out in the semi-final.
Why is that though?
Because like, you're so close, Miyawa. You're so close. I'm quite fortunate that all the semi-finals that I was involved with, we got to the finals. So, you know, people saying it's the worst time to lose because you're literally forgotten. It's forgotten and you're so close.
Let me just throw this in as well. I want to just mention the other semi-final very quickly because it would be a huge deal if West Ham beat Man City the way that Man City have been playing in some of the recent games. So they got a narrow win over Ipswich. So just for West Ham, just a shout to them, because if they can make something happen in that other semi,
if they could do that,
they'll need a lot of things to go their way. Let's be just respect them. I need a lot of things to go their way, but if they can pull that off.
Ipswich did so well in that game. That's what we're talking about. You come so close, no one goes, you know what, you tried your best. You just want to get it. But Ipswich really, really tried in that game. I was impressed.
Some good semi-finals, man, men's and women's. Going to be a good one to look out for. We got to mention that this is obviously going out on Wednesday. And I'm going to the Wolfsburg game. I'm really looking forward to that. And Jill Ward's coming back, one of my favourite players ever. So that's going to be a big one. And then obviously North London Derby on Saturday for the wins. So massive, massive games coming up for Arsenal. You know, if they can get stuff out of these two games, I feel like then the Chelsea semi-final wouldn't bother me so much, because I feel like this would take the ladies to a place where I'm thinking, yes, we can do it, man. We've got our capes on. We've got our capes on. We're super. Let's go and be super.
I want Arsenal to win a trophy they might feel they don't deserve. I want them to go at this Champions League. Like, you know, like there is every year there's a Champions League where the team that wins isn't necessarily the most fancied. I want Arsenal to just like slyly just be like, we're taking this. Like, we come with that energy.
Like when Porto won it.
Yes. Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Did I mention this as well? Because everyone will be like, oh, Barcelona are amazing. They are like one of the great teams. We'll look at them 50 years from now and be like, that team is astonishing. But here's the thing. People forget the matchups and they forget the difficulty. Well, not everyone, but the difficulty that PSG gave Barca in that semi was extraordinary. Mm. Like they made them look extremely ordinary. And of course they're not, they're, but the matchup was so good. So I just hope that Arsenal can summon some of that in terms of their matchups because, you know, we talked about Viv Miedema having a really tough start to the season, but Flo wrote a great piece with Flo Lloyd-Hughes of This Parish. A great piece about Miedema's season and how she's just adjusted to playing the 10.
Yeah.
So the kind of the intellectual battle of Arsenal-Wolfsburg, I'm fascinated to see how they match up with each other. I think it's actually pretty good for Arsenal. But I want Arsenal to be thinking, let's go the whole way with this.
We can go the way.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Guys, I've just got to mention a name to the man then. Tammy Abraham.
King of Rome.
The King of Rome. What he done to Lazio?
The King of Rome. Listen, facts upon facts.
The King of Rome. The King of, they, what did they do? They, what's it called? They opened the door and who entered? The King of Rome. The King of Rome.
The King of Rome. The King of Rome.
That's what you said. What did you do? Open the door and let, who did they let in? The King of Rome. The King of Rome. They've let in the King of Rome. Yeah,
King of Rome. King of Rome.
You know something? I sent Tam a message as well, you know, because you send messages to the guys then, like all of them. Every single person, like when they get injured, when they, what's going on? When I feel like they're feeling down or feeling something, just send a message. And sometimes you get a message back, sometimes you don't. But then at some stage, they, you know, they'll say something, bam. But like the way Tammy has gone over there, he's lit it up and I couldn't see it. I couldn't see Mourinho taking Tammy there and it working like it's worked. This is where Mourinho, it baffles me in when he's just said, you know something? Of all the people, I'm going to take Tammy, I'm going to take him to Roma and put him in this team. And I remember watching his first game, he was magnificent from the off. And then I look at him now, he just looks like...
It's his team.
Yes. Yes.
It's his team.
And the way they're celebrating with him, everything what's going on around him, it just feels like...
He's
that guy. And you know the thing is, Moose, we tried to get him Arsenal. And when you look at Arsenal playing now, how Tammy's playing and what Arsenal doing, you can say, you say to yourself, Mikel, I fucking see it.
You see the vision.
You see the vision.
You see the vision.
And then the thing is, when it was happening, you're just thinking, you know when you kind of think, Tammy, I could see it because he ripped us to shreds.
The Chelsea game. Remember the spin?
Chelsea game. Mate.
The thing is, Tammy's always been a goal scorer. Like his championship record, ridiculous. The Chelsea season where he was actually playing, 15 goals, no penalties. Remember, in the season when he wasn't playing, he was still chipping in here and there. But what he's done now, he's in a situation where his all-round game, for me, when I'm watching him, is improving. When people talk about the numbers, about the goal efficiency and everything, and I'm like, listen, no, look at that. That means that he's actually taking chances and still going. If you want to talk about impacts, why don't you talk about the fact that he's scoring the first goal in the game all the time? He's all saying, you time. Know, it's that's me big. That's going to carry this team. He's literally gone out there. And that's why I give him credit, because he's the latest British player to go out to Europe, get away from the media and just thrive. And for me, I saw what Sancho did. I saw what Chaloba did when he went to Napoli. I see what Tammy does. I see what Tomori's doing. I'm like, why don't one of these young boys just say, you know what? It's about opportunity and going where you are valued and just go out there and enjoy football. Tammy is enjoying football.
He is, but it's terrifying. This is the thing. We can say this now, right? And you're right, Mayo, but bear in mind, like what? Like, what's that thing about the average person in the UK has, I think 20% of people in the UK have a second language, right? Like, compared to like Europe, it's, you know, obviously living in Berlin, there's an ease to moving across borders in Europe that people don't necessarily have in the UK. The culture of moving, I'm not saying that Tammy himself doesn't speak loads of languages, I'm saying that the culture in the UK of like—
it's very different moving to like abroad, mainland
it's
Europe.
Psychologically, it's very difficult, right? And Serie A is, even though there are more goals in that league now than there were in the earlier times, like Beppe Signori and that all around, shout out to them, but it's still a hard place to go. Now, the reason why I thought this would work out is because Jose Mourinho loves number nines who take responsibility. That is a consistent theme. If you look at that man's entire career, he has always given a hell of a lot of responsibility to the nine, and he will love you. He will praise you. And if you get onto a good start with Mourinho as a number nine, he's your guy. Like, and it's not like
his strikers always score.
Thank you. This is the thing. And you said that before, like, you know, I fear for Tam, and I get that. But I was also looking at the pieces in that Roma squad, Pellegrini and Mkhitaryan. I was like, this helped click. Yeah. And the thing I love about Tammy is like, he does the two best things that a number nine does, right? He gets the hell out of the way and he crashes the box. Yes. So he's good in the build up, but the way this man is scoring from like, you know, 2 inches out, 2 feet out, ugly goals. Mm-hmm. I love this. Yeah. He desires ugly goals. And to get an ugly goal, to be 2 feet out, you know it, Ian, it's the first step. You're outside the box, how would I say it? It's like when you're at the top of the road and you smell the home cooking from the top of the road. Like, and the way that you attack the table is the way this man is attacking the box. you know, Tammy Abraham, he's 2 yards near to the box and he smells the home cooking and he is there. He is the first one with the plate. He's feeding. It's
something he's improved on as well, though.
Yeah.
Something happens, and it seems like it happened to Tammy, because you see the first goal, what they scored the other day, it kind of came off the bar, came off his knees. Bam, he was a yard out, right? He's got the hunger. He knows that the goal from a yard out is just as important as a flick up. Da, 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 do something. It's more. It's he even more important.
He just wants to eat.
Miyawa. He's eating.
Just wants the yummer food. And like, I love it.
I say as well, see how his scoring gets more important teams. You see how the Juventus, when I saw him score that, it reminded me of when George Weah scored the header, I think Milan, in that title winning season. Weah scores in the 1-1 away at Juventus, and I'm like, this is sick. When Weah is, if you're scoring away at Juventus, that's the thing. You can, 10,000 years from now, it will still be difficult to score away at Juventus. No matter what happens to human civilization, that will always be a vital goal. When he scores that, I'm like, when you are now trespassing in that territory, because you know, if you're a centre forward in a 6-yard box in Italy, you're trespassing. You're not welcome there in any circumstances. You're asserting yourself in that space. Like he was doing, he did it against Roma as well. Like against Lazio, in the derby against Juventus. He couldn't, and against Atalanta as well. He went to Atalanta and scored, and he fought his way through that defense to score.
Yeah.
When Tammy lists individual goals that he scored this year, the milestones, because of course all goals are equal. Yes, they all add up, but there are some goals that mean more than others, right? And he's scoring the goals that mean more. This is the thing. You know, there's some goal scorers here, and we talk about the like volume scorers, but can they score in big matches? We won't name names in this podcast because I don't want to be that guy that like calls people out, but there are some strikers where they score a lot of goals, but you're like, can they score in those particular matches? But Tammy is doing that.
He's proven that he
can. And if anything, the one criticism is actually, Mayo, is that his team around him, they're not at the level that he is at, which is a bit of a shame, because I'm now thinking like, you know, what, you know, Tammy Abraham could operate in, there are not many teams he could not operate in, actually.
What's so funny for me is, I remember we had the Declan Rice conversation months back, and we're saying, if you look at the situation he's in now, there's no quick rush for him to make that next move.
No.
Declan, yeah.
Like with Tammy, it's like, you've done the first season. Could you do another and really smash it up?
Does he need to do another? Because I think that Tammy's gone there, Miyawa, to say, right, let me go and show you what I'm doing. Because like, I don't think there was enough takers here because for whatever reason, Moose, whatever reason, Miyawa, There weren't enough takers. We tried, obviously. But like Tammy said, right, fuck you lot then. Mourinho wants me to, I'm going to go and see how I do. I'm going to go and do this. Now, they all must be looking at him. They've got to be.
For me, I see it like a placement year though. It's like finish the year. Like because like we saw Lukaku went out there, amazing. And then you come back and then I don't know why, there's something about England where the coming back, even if you've built up all of that confidence, the coming back, it's like you're back. Let's see what you're really made of. And all it takes is one little spell of not being where you were. And it feels like the walls just close in. And
yeah, especially, but Chelsea are not playing for him. Whereas I think Arsenal, if he came back to Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal. I think Arsenal
playing
would be
directly for him. He'll come up, he'll link the play, and he's got the energy to get in the box. So I think that with Lukaku, remember, I thought at the start of the season, with Lukaku now, it's over. Chelsea are doing it. But they're not playing to him. Tammy has got the hunger to finish the chances that Arsenal are not finishing right now. They're making chances and someone's not in there taking them. And Tammy now is at that stage where I'm gobbling all of that up.
Yes.
Do you reckon after the one season, he would have built the confidence to be like,
I think so.
I'm going to Arsenal to be the main man.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's gone to Roma.
That's true. It's a big club, yeah.
And it's a massive club. And he's the main man. And he was the main man from the first game.
This is the thing I was going to say, actually, and throw in there. Like, it's no small thing to be the King of Rome. Like, you're there and you're loved. You're adored. The lifestyle. The lifestyle, the culture, the city that embraces you, that you really made your name. Like, why do you leave it anytime soon? You're in the England squad. You know, Harry Kane is, you know, he's getting older. Like, who is the next nine? Who's next up after Harry Kane? Yeah. That's the thing, and that's the prize. If that's the prize, then you hang around in Rome for a bit.
He's pulled out though. Yeah,
he got injured, didn't he? So
yeah, he's pulled out. Which I don't think is a bad thing, Moose. Go on, Moose.
Yeah, I don't mean that in the short term. I mean like in the next, Harry. You know, yeah. Who's next after Harry Kane? So then I'm thinking, well, obviously here's the thing. The problem with Roma that Roma might come down to is not the profile of the club. It's a huge club. It might be in the long term. It's the money. Like, because they just cannot afford to pay. They can't, and this is no disrespect to Roma, they just can't rival over, let's see, six, I'm not saying Tammy's greedy. It's like over the 6-year contract, whatever they might offer, like 5-year contract, just they can't match that financially. As incredible as the club is. I just wonder if like, that's a move that he might make, let's say 2 or 3 years from now, that he goes and—
I don't think he needs to be in Italy for another 2-3 years. I think if he does one more,
that's what then I'm
comes
one
back.
More.
I'm
yeah,
thinking
yeah.
one more
yeah,
then come back.
Time.
So. Unfortunately, like I say, Moose, he's had to pull out, and I kind of left him a message saying, Tams, to be honest, what you're doing in Italy is what's going to get you into that squad in Qatar. You keep doing what you're doing. You playing against Switzerland and Ivory Coast, with all due respect to them, and scoring is not going to make it any easier for you to get in the next squad. You carry on doing what you're doing in Italy. You're gonna get into those squads. So don't worry about it. Just keep yourself right. You know, but like he's missing, Ramsdale's missing, Reece James missing. And Trent's missing, but Tariq Mitchell.
Oh, man.
It's a brilliant call-up.
I'm so happy for him.
It's a fantastic call-up.
Going
I'm
back to Palace,
for him.
That is Mark Gaye, Gallagher, and him all in the squad.
That's brilliant.
Amazing.
That is fantastic. And again, it's, you know, he's somebody that you watch him, especially defensive-wise, it's going to be interesting watching him playing for England if he gets a game. Going forward again, because like we saw it with Wan-Bissaka, everybody went crazy, Wan-Bissaka. And then we saw that when you've got a team that is controlling the ball more, and then you've got to get up there and support, get up there and play football in the offensive area and cross the ball, this is where I'm hoping that Tariq Mitchell can show that side of his game even more. Because remember, in playing behind Wilfried Zaha, you know, it's not the kind of thing where you're going to lay it into Wilf, get round him, and you're going to get it back too much. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to play if he can get a run in England so we can really see him attack, because that's part of Gareth's game. So him getting the call up, Gaye getting the call up was really good. I think Tomori not getting the call up
it's
is something
travesty.
That I really do. I cannot understand it. I can't understand it. And it's one that's, it's not bothering me because Gareth will have his reasons, but I cannot for the life of me think what reason it can be. What, you know, with all due respect to Gaye, with all due respect to Connor Cody, Tyron Mings, Harry Maguire, I know that the people love saying this you know, oh, they've not let him down and he trusts him and this and that. When do people get rewarded for what Tomori's done? He's gone out there and he's proven I can do this. When does he get the, you know something? You got to get a bring in. Let me give you a bring in. If you don't play, it don't matter, but you've got to get a bring in because what you're doing is fantastic. With all due respect to the other guys, I'm never, ever going to say to people who've got an England call up, well, we shouldn't have got one. Never going to say that because it means the world to players and it means the world. And then when you don't get it, when you're doing this kind of stuff, it fucking hurts, man. It really, really does.
I think the fair thing to say, yeah, because it's not so much you're saying the players aren't good enough to be in that squad. It's more like, what more do you have to do?
Yeah.
What more do you have to do if you're part of a defence and the midfield in front of him has changed a bit? You know, if you're top of Serie A in a resurgent AC Milan team and you're looking like you might actually claim the title, what more do you have
to do? You've got to get love.
To be picked for an England squad. That to me is the question.
But Kyle Walker-Peters.
So happy for him. Yeah.
Great to see him as well. Like Kyle Walker-Peters get, because I remember watching him at Tottenham, Moose Mayoa, and I'm thinking, they got rid of Kyle Walker-Peters and they brought in Serge Aurier. And when I watched Serge for a couple of games, I'm thinking, Kyle Walker-Peters, I'm sorry, is a better player. They brought Emerson Royal in, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, he's a better player than Emerson Royal. And even with Doherty, who does great stuff going forward in that, I've watched Kyle Walker-Peters, and I'm glad he's got the call up. Because I remember watching him. He was involved in the England under-17 team that won the World Cup with Phil Foden and all those guys. So I'm watching him, I'm thinking, why have Tottenham got rid of him? Why have they got rid of him when you watch how he plays? And for him to get the call up, I'm absolutely made up. Because for me, that helps him. That gives him that like buzz, what makes him go, yes. You know what I mean? Me moving from Tottenham when I don't think, would he have really wanted to? He probably had to because they wanted him out. He's gone to Southampton, not so fashionable, and continued with great form and he's been rewarded just in Southampton. So why can't Tomori get rewarded for going and playing and putting himself out there, playing brilliant football? You need to be rewarded. Kyle Walker-Peters has been rewarded.
I hate to say, I wonder if Tomori's just not fully on the radar. Like, you know, Tammy Abraham's goals have made him a headline. But if you look at, do you know what I mean? If you look at like the defenders they pick, like Connor Cody, for example, he provides the leadership, right? That's an intangible thing. So then who is he competing against, Tomori, in that squad? He's competing with, because, you know, he trusts. It's all about trust with Southgate.
Trust Maguire.
He knows what he gets from them. Mitchell, he sees him more at Palace. Gehi as well. Tomori is the one player because a defender needs to do more to get noticed than a striker does. This is the one thing I'll say in Southgate's defence. A defender needs to do more to get noticed. And I'm not sure that he would have missed out by much, actually. It's not like if you look at that list, you're like, oh my goodness, like, well, he's at that Tomori because Tomori wasn't good enough. He just may not have seen him play enough football, actually. And also, like, he knows, if you're Premier League defending, you know what you're getting, what the chemistry is going to be. Because it's not just about, whether the player's good enough individually. It's about how will he combine with other players that defend in the Premier League. These are all Premier League defenders. So it's a style of defending that he's like, actually, the chemistry if I bring him in won't fit because in Serie A, they attack differently. So maybe, and I love Tomori. I'm just saying that maybe this is part of the thinking in why he's been excluded.
Moose, I appreciate that because you have to have that side of it as well. But I do believe that to bring somebody in, have a couple of looks at him, and then if he doesn't get in, then at least I can be on this side of it saying, yeah, well, Gareth's had him in a couple of squads. He's looked at him. Maybe he doesn't fancy him for whatever reason. But to not get him when he's playing in this good form just feels a little bit unfair. But at the same time, I'm delighted to see someone like Gehi get in simply because another player in the Chelsea Academy has done well to blast through that academy with the great players that they've got and the great defenders that they've got. And now, you know, he's moved on to Palace, played fantastic football, he's captain in Palace, and now he's got into the England squad. Another player that's taken it on himself to say, "I need to move. I need to move for the bettership of my career." And now he's in the England squad. It gives you a boost. It gives you something. Now, I'm not saying give away caps like Sven did against Australia, but what I'm saying is to give someone like Tomori that just to make him say, "Yeah, man, they can see me. At least they can see."
Yeah, I'm in the picture.
Do you know what I found awkward? Because Kyle Walker wasn't put in this squad because he said he wanted to give a look at everyone else and Kyle Walker being the next one. why couldn't that be applied to Tomori? Like Maguire international level, like if you trust him, you know what you're going to get with him. And like, I know that United players are not the news, in the squad.
Yeah, but it's United. That's the thing, though, Miyawa.
And that's the
it's
issue.
United, it's Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
If he left him out, it's going to be
a big story.
It becomes a massive story.
And it's so frustrating sometimes because
it really is.
It should be simple enough to be like, listen, Harry, listen, go and have 3 weeks off, look after yourself. We've got a big World Cup coming. I want to have a look at this tomorrow because he's been amazing. It should be that simple, but there's so many other factors that just go into it. But yeah.
Sometimes if you overlook people, it's not really conscious disrespect. You overlook people and you lose them. You don't want to be in a position where you look back and say, we could have done.
We could have.
Yeah, because better by him. Someone like Tomori being eligible for Canada, right? If he declares for Canada, when you've also got Alphonso Davies in there, Jonathan David, who are like, as we say in quotes, hashtag generational talents, you're starting to build a really, really exciting squad. And you've got the World Cup 4 years from now. People start declaring for Canada, it starts becoming a thing to like, actually, like this team could go deep in a World Cup, could get past like, you know, the group stages, maybe get a second round, then who knows what happens. That's really exciting. And maybe it'll be a bit of a lesson to countries not to be too complacent about.
Yes, that's all I'm
having
saying.
Having these players at your disposal. It's true for when you're publishing a book and it's true for when you're picking a country to play for. Go where you feel the love.
100%.
Absolutely.
Where you feel loved and appreciated, you will play your best football. You will make your best art.
Absolutely. You know something, on that note, you know, we've got to say where you feel most appreciated. We started with Tammy Abraham. He's getting flowers. Because he's appreciated and he's playing his best football, and long may it continue for him. So flowers for Tammy.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, guys, I've got to let you go. Time to leave the yard. Thank you very much. Thanks very much, Musa Kwanga. Thanks very much, Miyawa Koji. Will I see you again soon?
Of course,
absolutely.
Bro.
Without doubt.
I love you guys. Listen, I've got to say, everybody, thank you very much for listening. There won't be no Righty's House next week. We will be back the week after next. So make sure you join us then for more chat. There's a lot going on, so we'll have a lot to chat about. Take it easy and be safe.